You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 15th of March 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it looks like Zelensky's Foreign Legion, the Reddit Rambos, have been bombed by Russia and fled to Poland. I mean, I'm not quite sure what they were expecting. I mean, they're basically foreign mercenaries. They are targets for the Russians, aren't they? The Russians don't really want to be attacking Ukrainians because they are their brothers, but foreign mercenaries are definitely going to be attacked anywhere that Russia finds out they are based in. And apparently they were based just slightly over the border from Poland, and they've all fled back to Poland now. And we're also hearing about lots of refugees that are leaving from Ukraine. I did notice on the news the other day, it looked like Russia had pretty much taken the same number of refugees as Poland, but they seem to have altered the numbers now. So it looks like Poland has taken 1 million and Russia has taken 100,000. I think we have to take these figures with a pinch of salt. I think the issue is Russia has opened up these corridors, humanitarian corridors, for people to get into Russia, and then when the Ukrainian forces see that people are heading to Russia, then I think they are probably attacking these corridors. And we're also hearing a lot about refugees in Britain. And when I first heard about this, I thought, well, this is pretty good, actually. Drakeford, the First Minister of Wales, was the first of the British politicians to say, we would like to welcome Ukrainian refugees. And I was quite surprised at that. I thought, well, aren't they the wrong colour to be accepting them as refugees into Britain? So I was very pleased to see that. Sweden has refused to accept any. And then this week we hear that the British government are going to be paying £350 a month for each family that allows Ukrainian refugees to live with them. And I thought, well, that's not really that much money, is it? £350 a month. And then they said that that was on top of rent and on top of food and on top of living costs. And that's not too bad, £350 for each Ukrainian refugee. And again, I was really surprised at this because I thought, well, these are white people and we're not used to seeing our government helping white people. And then this little bit of news came out. African migrants, along with a host of other nationalities, are exploiting the war in Ukraine to enter France, a member of the European Parliament has claimed. So, it looks like they may not actually be Ukrainian refugees that turn up on the doorstep. And of course, people will be expecting them just to be women and children, because all the males in Ukraine are not being allowed to leave. They've effectively been turned into irregular militias and again targets for the Russian army. And I think some of these British families or British single men that are expecting a female Ukrainian refugee to turn up on their doorstep, they might get a little bit of a surprise. Nicholas Bay, MEP, has claimed that African migrants are using refugee channels aimed at helping those fleeing the war in Ukraine to enter France. And I've seen quite a few of these. I mean, it's quite amazing. Ukraine is majority white, I think, 98, 99% white. And yet somehow the BBC manages to find black and non-white people to interview that are claiming to be Ukrainian, and the BBC says they're Ukrainian. Of course, they might be Ukrainian citizens, but they're not Ukrainian ethnicity. The BBC saying that Ukraine doesn't have an ethnicity, isn't that a bit close to the people that are saying that Ukraine isn't a real country? And apparently these African migrants have been complaining that they're not being allowed on the trains, or they're not being treated in the same way as the Ukrainian refugees. But Poland has always said all along that they will accept refugees from their own ethnic group, but they will not accept refugees from the other side of the world, because they are clearly economic migrants rather than refugees. If you are fleeing a war zone, you go to the first country that you come to. And if there are African migrants in Ukraine, clearly they shouldn't be in Ukraine. If they're fleeing a war, they should be in a country in Africa. So they shouldn't even really be there in Ukraine. And I think that's Poland's attitude towards this. Of course, then we also have students. And that is a bit of an issue, because there are black and non-white students that are in Ukraine that are genuinely studying. And because there is this problem with illegal migration and economic migrants, these non-white students can get mistaken for these fake refugees. So that has caused a bit of a problem. And of course, we have sympathy for them. According to this Nicholas Bay, ultimately the politician believes around one third of migrants using the route are not from Ukraine, a figure suggested in a recent article published in Le Figaro, but hotly disputed by official sources. So unofficially, people are saying at least a third of these so-called Ukrainian refugees are not Ukrainian refugees. They're actually African economic migrants. And of course, as I say, they will get mixed up with the genuine non-white students and cause problems for the genuine students as well. And of course, you can tell, because you can tell if somebody is a Ukrainian refugee or not simply by what race they are, can't you? But of course, anybody that points that out is going to get accused of racial profiling. But that would be the sensible thing to do in this situation. According to Le Monde, a number of French right-wing populists have denounced the alleged use of refugee routes by non-Ukrainian economic migrants, with Bay, the vice president of presidential candidate Eric Zemmour's party, Reconquest, perhaps being the most prominent. And of course, we also have to factor into this the problems that there were between Belarus and Poland, with all these illegal migrants trying to get into Poland, where Belarus stopped preventing them from coming into the EU when the EU put Belarus under sanctions. So, of course, the Poles are going to be particularly on the lookout for these African migrants that were all in Belarus earlier, and now it looks like they may be working their way through Ukraine and taking advantage of the war in Ukraine to try and claim the refuge that they were denied when they were coming in from Belarus. And this Eric Zemmour, he's a Algerian Jew, I believe, an Algerian Jew that is against multiculturalism and is against Islamization. And he is further to the right than Marine Le Pen. Jared Taylor speaks very highly of him. I don't know that much about him, but it does appear that he's actually more anti-Zionist than Marine Le Pen. And obviously, where he is Jewish, then, and people accuse him of hate speech or being anti-immigration, he can always play the Jewish card, can't he? So there is obviously a benefit to him leading an anti-immigration party. We will just have to see what happens there. I mean, the world we live in today, everything is just turned upside down, where you have the furthest to the right party in France is actually led by a Jew, and he seems to be genuinely against immigration and against Islamization, and apparently he's genuinely against Zionism as well. So therefore, it's hard to find reasons not to support what he is doing. I mean, that is what you would want Jews to be doing, is speaking up against multiculturalism, speaking up for the indigenous people of the country, denouncing interference in the political affairs of the country by Israel, and standing up for their own people as well in doing so, and saying, well, look, you know, we're just the same as everybody else. We just want to look out for our own interests. And I guess Eric Zemmour is doing that. So good luck to him. It's one of the members of his party that has been the most prominent speaking about this. Today, a third of the refugees who pass through Ukraine do not come from Ukraine, but come from sub-Saharan Africa in particular. They are using this new migratory route to come to Europe, the publication reports, the French MEP saying. Sub-Saharan Africa, I mean, that is quite some way to go to reach Ukraine, isn't it? As I say, I suspect that they probably came in from sub-Saharan Africa to Belarus, and then probably went from Belarus into Ukraine, and then from Ukraine tried to get into Poland through that route instead of between the woods between Belarus and Poland. They also emphasised that France has an obligation to help Ukrainian refugees, saying that those coming from that country are part of our civilization. And this is the point. We have a responsibility to our own family. We have a responsibility to our own ethnic group, but we shouldn't have a responsibility to other ethnic groups. It's their responsibility to look out for their people, and it's our responsibility to look out for our people. That's the way that things work. If we end up making ourselves responsible for all these other ethnic groups, then we are lacking in responsibility for our own. The best way to improve the situation for everyone globally, I believe, is to have each group looking out for its own interests. Surely that's going to be the best way to do things. And if you are putting another group's interests above your own, then that is maladaptive. That's a suicidal way of doing things. So I think here where he says that Ukraine is a part of our civilization, I think what he means there is it's a euphemism for part of our ethnic group. But rather than saying part of our ethnic group, he's saying part of our civilization. And of course, they are part of our civilization. Our civilization essentially goes back thousands of years through the same ethnic group. That is the component that makes it our civilization, is the fact that it was built by our ethnic group, or built by our race, rather, which is split up into various different ethnicities. There are those who come for economic reasons, who weigh down our public accounts and our social accounts, and the Ukrainians, towards whom we have a duty of European solidarity, of course, he said. So these are the sort of things that are in the mainstream public narrative over there in France. And yet we don't have anybody in the mainstream political narrative in Britain that is saying these sort of things. So really, I mean, we have to support what this guy is doing, this Eric Zemmour. And I believe that Marine Le Pen's niece, Marichal, she is on the verge of coming out with support for Eric Zemmour. And I believe she's actually left her aunt's party. It does seem as if Marine Le Pen is moving to the centre, and her party is moving in with this Eric Zemmour. And of course, then you've got people that are saying, well, Eric Zemmour is splitting the vote. But if Marine Le Pen is no longer speaking up for the ethnic interests of France, and Eric Zemmour is, then surely you just have to support the person that is supporting white interests. And we do have allies amongst other ethnicities. Patriotic Alternative in particular has a lot of allies amongst other ethnicities that support what we are doing. And we should be friendly with all ethno-nationalists from all other groups, because they are essentially doing what is best for their group. And this is one of the reasons why I say that this Azov battalion cannot be National Socialist. They're going against, you know, the central ideology of National Socialism, which is that ethnicities have a right to self-determination. And what you have with the Azov battalion is that they are bombing ethnic separatists in Donetsk and Luhansk. They are of Russian ethnicity. In Ukraine, you basically have Polish-speaking Ukrainians and Russian-speaking Ukrainians. Essentially, they're the same race, but they are two different ethnicities. And in the Donbass, you have these two independent republics that have proclaimed their independence, and they are essentially ethnostates. They're based on ethnicity. They're based on being a separate ethnicity to the prominent ethnicity in the west of Ukraine. And if Azov Battalion were genuine nationalists, genuine national socialists, they would support this, and they would say, "Well, that's great. You have your ethnic separatist state over there, and we'll have our ethnic separatist state over here, and we'll protect you from Kiev, and you protect us from Russia, and we'll have two ethno states existing side by side." But instead of saying that, they've bombed them, and they've tried to stop them from speaking Russian, and they've tried to get them to pretend to be a different ethnicity to what they are, which is the opposite of National Socialism. It's the same mentality that we have all over the West, isn't it? It's the mentality that says that you can just invite people into your country from all over the world, and once they set foot on your soil, they become exactly the same as you. And Azov are essentially saying the same. They're saying, because you're living on Ukrainian soil, then you must be Ukrainian. And they're not. They're Russian. They're of Russian ethnicity, particularly the ethnicity that is grown around that area. I believe they've been there for a few centuries. They're the ones that built up the Donbass. They make up about 85% of the population in that area. So how can Azov Battalion claim to be nationalist and be based on ethnicity when they are preventing ethnic separatists from having their own independent state? And people have said to me, oh, yes, well, Azov Battalion, they're against all the other groups and they want their own ethno state. Well, they're hypocrites then, aren't they? Because they're against the Russian separatists having what Azov apparently claim for themselves. So this is why I say that they're not nationalists, they're puppets. They're globalist puppets, and that's why Facebook allows people to support them. Getting back to the issue here, Le Monde went on to note that others from both France's traditional and populist right have repeated the figure, which appears to be sourced from an article published in Le Figaro titled War in Ukraine, 1 in 3 non-Ukrainians among refugees in France. So it does appear to be a fairly official figure here that a third of them are not actually Ukraine, yet the officials over there in France are denying this. The French authorities have disputed the number of migrants abusing the system, claiming that there was a question of dual citizenship that was at play. So what are they saying now? Are they saying that it's black Africans that have come to Ukraine and they've been granted Ukrainian citizenship, and then they're trying to get into Poland and get into France, and the authorities are saying, well, clearly you're not Ukrainian ethnicity? Is that what they mean by dual citizenship? I think that's probably what is going on here. Didier Leschi said, we have situations of dual nationality which are not easy to deal with, and he's the Director General of the French Office for Immigration and Integration. The controversy surrounding non-Ukrainian migrants allegedly abusing Ukrainian refugee flows to enter France has now gone viral online. One image, posted by leftist French National Assembly member Aurélien Taché, is captioned with the line, "Meeting in Sergei of refugees who arrived from Ukraine after a long journey." And all the so-called Ukrainian refugees there are quite clearly black Africans. So this is also being based upon tweets and information that's being put out there by left-wing politicians. Many replies to the post highlighted the fact that the image only appears to show refugees of African ethnicity, with French presidential candidate Eric Zemmour retweeting the image to his large online follower base. Thank you, Aurelian Tash, for participating in the necessary re-information on the subject of Ukrainian refugees, wrote Zemor's digital strategy chief Samuel Lafont in response to the leftist politician's post. Here are the refugees coming from Ukraine that Aurelian Tash boasts of welcoming, replied another staunch Zemor ally, Jean-Frédéric Poisson. This charitable exhibitionism is insulting to real Ukrainian refugees and reveals a hidden migratory reality. Let's quickly get rid of this political oligarchy that despises everything and everyone. And it's good to see that nationalists over there in France have the same attitude that nationalists have everywhere, and that the current ruling regime despises everything and everyone. Although they may claim to support diversity, what they are actually doing is destroying all the diversity in the world. They're destroying all the cultures of the world by mixing them all together in one territory so that everybody is fighting against one another, just sowing the seeds for problems later on down the road, sowing the seeds for civil war like there is happening in Ukraine at the moment. What this all boils down to is the fact that you have two different ethnicities there. You have Russian and you have Polish, all living within one territory. And eventually something has to give because you have a conflict of interest there. You have the Polish Ukrainians who wish to tilt towards the European sphere of influence, and you have the Russian Ukrainians who wish to stay within the Russian sphere of influence. So there is a conflict of interest there because you have these two different ethnic groups. And the political oligarchy that we have in the West is intent on setting up those conditions. They are intent on mass immigration, bringing in huge numbers of peoples that are vastly different to our own culturally and biologically. And they naturally have a conflict of interests with us. And if you have Muslims in a Christian country, there's going to be a conflict of interests. The Muslims are going to want to follow Muslim rules and laws, and the Christians are going to want to follow Christian rules and laws. I mean, why would any sane government engage in such a policy? And unless they were deliberately trying to divide the people that they were ruling out of a fear that the people might want to actually rule themselves. I mean, that's what this is about. It's divide and conquer. If you can divide the nation up by bringing in representatives of other nations, then it makes it more difficult for that nation to take charge of its own interests and of its own affairs. And this is why we say nationalists are the only true opposition to what is going on. And that's why nationalists are the only group that the opposition seeks to censor and remove from public discourse. They don't want people to listen to what people like myself have to say. I don't see what is so dangerous about it. We are criticizing government policy here. We're not inciting hate against anyone. We have sympathies for all these other people groups, but we think the way to improve their living conditions is to improve the conditions in the countries that they are from, not to import them into our countries, where you just end up with a brain drain from the countries in the third world. So their best and brightest people are no longer there improving the country. And you also end up with a criminal drain as well. You end up with the criminal types from those countries that move to the West, where they know that their victims are not going to be a part of their own ethnic group. So it makes it easier for them to commit crimes. And on top of that, we have the anti-free speech laws, which restrict the way that people can actually talk about these crimes. So I'm sure that in some instances, these people of a criminal mind think, well, let's go to Europe and our crimes will be covered up. We know that the people that were involved in the grooming gangs saw things in that way, that the stupid West would cover up what they were doing and hide what they were doing. Multiculturalism is, there's just nothing positive about it at all. I mean, people will say, well, what about the food? There's an improvement in food, but we can make other people groups' food better than them for our tastes anyway. And I'm not saying we can make their food better than them, but for our tastes, we can. Just look at curry. Curry has become Britain's national dish, and that came from India. But who was it that developed it for British tastes? Well, it was the British that did that. In India, they have a different version of curry that they eat. So it's not even an argument to say that the food is better, because we can cook for ourselves. Multiculturalism means dividing the community up. Of course, you can cope with one or two, and if you just have one or two, then it can be helpful, because it gives you a broader understanding of the world, and you can understand about these people when it's just a few of them. So there isn't enough of them to form separate communities. But as soon as there's enough of them to form a separate community, then that means that your community is divided. And of course, even then, when you just have one or two, there's always the risk that there is going to be miscegenation and interbreeding between the two groups. So if you were just to have a few guests, say, within the country, you would also have to ensure that people were given the correct information about miscegenation and about the effect that would likely have on any offspring of the relationship, how they would possibly tend towards depression, how they wouldn't have any ancestors that looked like them, how they would have identity issues, how they may be rejected by the people group that they most associate with. I mean, all these sorts of problems that just don't get discussed in the mainstream. I think if they were discussed, then we would see far less mixed race relationships. So these are the sort of things that you would have to think about if you did have an ethno-state and you were going to allow certain members of other nations to live within your country. I mean, it's just sensible that you would do that. But you wouldn't then tell them that they were the same ethnicity as you. And this is where all these problems come from. We bring in black Africans and then tell them that they are the same ethnicity as the British. And then they get confused about their identity. And they're, well, if I'm British, then why isn't there an Afro hairdresser in this place where I'm living? For one instance, to refer to these supposed black Welsh authors that I was talking about the other day that were complaining about how they had to import a black hairdresser from elsewhere and they had to import food from elsewhere and how they expected this to all be provided for them. Well, that's because they have been told that they're British when they're not actually of British ethnicity. I'm getting a little bit off course here, so getting back to this article here. Yet another Zemmour ally, Damien Rieu, who previously served as a parliamentary assistant for Rassemblement National, that's the National Rally, Marine Le Pen's party, posted an image in response to the leftist's picture that labels the continent of Africa as Ukraine. And this basically shows that there are people leaving the former National Front to join Zemmour. Marine Le Pen is losing a lot of her former allies and supporters to this new party. And that really shows that he must be pretty good, because Marine Le Pen's been leading the Front National for, I don't know, over a decade, I'm sure, maybe 2 decades. And for people to be leaving her and moving over to this party that is led by this Algerian Jew, he must be very, very good at advocating for the French people's interests. Black people are such a small share of the population in Ukraine that they are not even included as an individual category in census data. Yet somehow they are making up a third of the refugees that are coming out of Ukraine. As I say, I think the reason for that is because they're coming in from Belarus, because we just stopped hearing about that issue, didn't we? We just stopped hearing about the problem that the Poles were having on the border, with Lukashenko no longer observing the agreement he had with the EU that he was going to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. It was big news. It was almost going to be a war, wasn't there? Apparently the Belarusians were urging these illegal migrants on, and telling them where that they were going to be able to break into Poland, and the Poles were saying that we are having to defend our borders as if we are in the middle of a war. And now it's just gone silent, and they're not talking about that at all. But suddenly a third of the refugees coming out of Ukraine are in actual fact black and not Ukrainian. So that is clearly the source of this problem. And anyone in Britain who is expecting to welcome a white, blonde Ukrainian female on their doorstep as a Ukrainian refugee might get something of a surprise. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.